Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
Oh, wow. Wait.
Yeah.
Oh,
I guess
okay,
it did.
I was trying to send a link to Jarrell on Twitter, and then I see he's here. Wait, first, let's see. Can everybody hear so far that's here?
I can.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
I can.
Okay, so everybody's here except for Akayla. Give me a second.
I feel like I only heard you and JD. I don't know if I heard the other person necessarily.
Jarrell?
Yeah, I'm right here. Can you
okay, so maybe I didn't hear JD then. I don't know. Maybe I'm just in bad voices right now.
There goes JD with that goofy laugh. All right, hold on a second.
Let me talk about my.
Okay, here she is. So we're all here. Okay, perfect. Okay, so I'm going to have to email them and let them know that they finally got it together. Okay. Welcome to Auntie's Block Podcast. Before we start, this episode is brought to you in part by Lola and Doe. Visit lolaanddoe.com for all that results. Use promo code Auntie, AUNTIE. And save 10%, go buy some soap. Okay. I'm not going to really title this episode right now because they're not releasing until next month. So we have tonight Jarrell Butler. And I'm going to let him go ahead and introduce himself in reference to what he does. So go ahead. You got the floor.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you. Hello, everyone. My name is Jarrell Butler. I'm the CEO and founder of Millennial Financial Solutions. It is a Black-owned financial planning firm tailored on providing financial planning services to millennials and minorities.
Okay. So where are you located at?
So currently I'm located in Dallas, Texas.
Dallas, Texas. Okay, perfect. That's a really good market that you're in, or actually out there in Dallas. That's a major media market. Now, I wanted to ask you, give me one second. What was the reason? I like the name for one, Millennial Financial Solutions. What was the reason behind starting it?
So I thought of the idea maybe about 4 or 5 years ago. I had just finished undergrad at Southeastern Louisiana University. So I'm originally from New Orleans. And, you know, I was a student athlete up there. I ran track and, you know, I was a first generation college graduate. And, you know, I was one of those people that, you know, I ran into some, you know, financial troubles while I was in college. You know, I was one of those people who, you know, took the credit card offers at school and, you know, had a Marshall's account to went to go get polo shirts and, you know, I didn't have enough money to pay the cards off. So, you know, just not having that financial literacy to really understand how credit works, how money works. So, you know, I actually was very curious at one point on, you know, hey, look, I'm in, you know, a lot of financial trouble. Why isn't anyone actually taking the time to teach us, you know, personal finance and financial literacy? So, you know, I actually wound up going to grad school at Clark Atlanta and getting my MBA, but I always had the itch to, you know, be a financial planner at some point. And when I did some research, I just found that there weren't a lot of, you know, Black financial planners, and there weren't a lot of financial planners that catered to Generation Y, or what we call millennials. So I just did a lot of research. I said, hey, you know, I just think it makes sense to actually start my own firm that caters to those two demographics.
That's smart. That's interesting. You said that with the credit cards, because I know my mama had told my sister, she was like, when you go to college, do not accept none of them credit cards because you will be in debt. And you already in debt when you go and get all those student loans and stuff like that through the school so you can go to school. So it's great that you started this company. Now, what do you offer within your company that you have?
So I offer several types of different services. The first one is what I call personal financial planning. So basically, we offer everything within the financial planning spectrum to our clients, right? So basically, we do budgeting, we do investment planning, we do tax planning, we do credit building. So we do a lot of different things that kind of make up your entire financial picture. And basically, what we do is we take whoever the client is. Most clients have certain goals that they're trying to reach. So I create a comprehensive plan that's tailored around meeting the goals for the individual. I also do small business planning. So previous to me running my firm full time, I worked at Capital One Corporation in Washington, D.C. for 4 years. And I was a senior financial analyst there. So what I did there was I ran these billion-dollar budgets for the businesses. So I'm just basically taking that skill set down to the small business spectrum, helping small businesses with their financial management, helping them optimize their costs, become more efficient as a business, and grow their profit margins. And I also do investment management. So helping clients either get started with investing in growing their wealth portfolios or managing existing portfolios that they already have.
So do you, with all the services that you do, do you have like a bundle that you have? Or how much?
Yeah.
How much is like the, for your services, for one thing, how much is it for somebody to, to take part of it?
Absolutely. So I have three different packages. So it definitely depends on the type of services you're looking for, the situation you're in, et cetera. My lowest package starts at $200 a month, and my highest package starts at $500 a month.
What's the
so basically, it depends. Yeah. So I mean, when you think about it, right? I work on the monthly retainer model just because. People in our generation, in the millennial generation, we pay for things we see value in, right? So we'll pay $150 to $200 a month for a CrossFit membership. We'll pay, X amount of dollars to, go to a yoga studio or whatever. But, I consider myself a financial coach. And, I think that model is actually more affordable for the type of consumers that I'm attracting. So depending on the type of services you are looking for, our lower packages for like people who are, brand new to, investing in financial planning and need to set a solid foundation, that package is around $200. For the more advanced complex clients who need small business planning, entrepreneurs, things like that, it's around the $500 range, and we have another package in between that kind of meets those goals.
So, what if I need to fix my credit up?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
So, what happens if I need to fix my credit up? Like, can we go to you and you guys help with that, or is it just going more so teaching of how?
So, I don't necessarily say I help people with fix their credit. I'm not a credit fixer per se, but what we do is, as a part of the financial planning process, we help to evaluate what's on your credit reports and come up with a solution on how do we increase your score and help to beautify your credit report. So that's all a part of that comprehensive financial plan. So that's just kind of like one small piece of the pie that we do for our clients.
How many in that? Because you said you're in Dallas, right?
Yeah, yeah. I'm in Dallas.
What part of Dallas?
So I'm in North Dallas right now.
So I'm from Dallas. That's what I'm asking. Or not from there, but moved from California.
Okay.
So that's what I was trying to see. Because I know a lot of people in the areas of like Oak Cliff and stuff like that, Oak Cliff, Pleasant Grove, and stuff like that. That's where you have a lot of people who are not learning about the financial business, about their finances, how to fix their finances, how to maintain. But if you go to like Plano and stuff like that, that's where you have your more so business at people. Plano, Arlington, stuff like that. So I'm trying to figure out where do you actually work at, or where's your building, I guess, at, and who usually come to you for help or for
your. I'm actually glad you brought that up, because the way my company is set up, I'm set up to be virtual. So I have clients all over the place. I have clients in Texas, Louisiana,
okay,
DC, Philly, all over the place. So, you know, I'm able to work from home. You know, I'm like the typical millennial entrepreneur, you know, have your startup, you know, home, or if I need to go meet with a client, you know, I can rent out office space for like the day, things like that. But, you know, like that's the beauty of having a virtual financial planning firm, is that I'm able to utilize technology to actually meet with clients all over the place. So not just in Texas, you know, I have clients all over the U.S.
That's what's up. That's dope.
Okay. It is dope. Okay. So my thing, because I know you also too stated that you, you're trying to build the wealth gap. Now, what are some of the issues that you see with it, as far as with minorities?
So, you know, you would have to kind of go, you know, way back to the, you know, post-slavery days, right? You know, when, you know, blacks were afforded their freedom, you know, we weren't privy to a lot of the financial opportunities that have arisen for, you know, other groups of people. And we've been having to kind of struggle with that for generation after generation after generation. And what I want to do is, essentially, I want to bring a lot of this knowledge. Homie mentioned that, hey, in the, you know, South Dallas, Oak Cliff are areas that we know are lacking in financial literacy. So what I want to do is I want to make sure that we're giving back to our communities, doing workshops, doing seminars, actually getting this knowledge out there on what needs to be done in terms of us understanding financial concepts, understanding money concepts, understanding credit, how credit works, how cash works, how business loans work, how entrepreneurship works, and really, you know, set up a program that we can kind of take from city to city, help to implement it within those cities, and actually, you know, get people more involved in things like real estate, you know, investing in the stock market, building up an emergency savings, a lot of those financial concepts that we're not actually taught in school.
Right. Okay. Because I was going to ask, what ways did you wanted to align to minorities? And I think that will probably be like the smartest thing to do, is take it city to city, especially going into like them urban areas, yep, to where a lot of people really don't know and really don't understand about financial literacy, because this is one of those things, like, everybody want to start a business, but people don't know how to start a business. They think they can just go and make like a big cartel and sell t-shirts and they're a business like it's so crazy how people be thinking, and there's literally like no business plans, no capital, no nothing, no type of direction. It's just everybody just wants to have a business. Go ahead, JD.
I was going to ask, what research did you do to see that, to notice that there is an open market for what you do? Because
great question.
I see a lot of people who just, like she said, where they feel like they can do, you know, make t-shirts or whatever. But there's usually research to see what market is open for you to be able to expand on. So how did you do that?
Absolutely. Great question. The first thing you got to do, to your point, is research the market. And all of that goes into your business plan. So for me, basically what happened was, like I said, you know, I had previous experiences with myself where, you know, I was seeking for help in terms of, you know, increasing my financial knowledge and my financial literacy. But I just realized that there's nobody who looks like me who can help me, you know. So that was the first thing, is you know, looking around me, I didn't see a lot of people who actually can relate to what I'm going through. to reach out at first. And then when I took my, you know, research further, I learned that over 90% of financial planners are middle-aged white men. So, you know, when I'm looking at that gap in the terms of, okay, over 90% of the financial planning industry is middle-aged white men, most of the consumers or clients that they reach out to are middle-aged white people. You know, so there wasn't necessarily a set demographic of, you know, financial advisors or financial planners that actually intends to target millennials and minorities. So that was why, instead of maybe going to work for a firm like a Northwestern Mutual or a Merrill Lynch, where they already have their set target markets, I wanted to actually go to those demographics that are underserved. So yeah, I mean, it definitely took me at least about a year to year and a half to get all the regulatory stuff, to get the approvals and all that stuff to get off the ground.
Do you have a time frame in which you have individuals of how long they need your services, or is it like a month package and they can just keep adding on?
So the goal with the financial planning is to help the clients evolve, essentially. So for example, if I start off with a client who is in our you know, beginner package, you know, giving them the foundational skills to build wealth, the plan is, you know, I want to grow with my clients. You know, I'm not looking to necessarily serve clients who are already established. I mean, I'll definitely take them on, but my primary focus is to help people grow and build. So the premise of the program is to, you know, hopefully, you know, have clients grow with me and I grow with them. And as they enter different phases in life, you know, have kids, get new jobs, have new investment opportunities, I'm right there to guide them. So ideally, it would be more of a long-term, mutually beneficial relationship. But I mean, I do have some clients that, hey, you know, I only need a business plan, or I only need a one-time financial planning analysis, and I can do that for them as well.
So how do you face big companies such as like New York company, where they, even though they are insurance, they try to basically reach out to everybody and teach them financial planning? Does that ever come and coincide with what you're trying to do?
Actually, no, and it's a certain reason for that, right? So I'm what's considered a fee-only financial planner. So there.
Oh, I was just looking at your website, reading this. I'm like, what is fee-only? Okay, go ahead and explain it.
Yeah. So no. I'm really glad you brought that up. So there are different types of financial planners and financial advisors, right? So, the first one is a fee-only financial planner. So a fee-only financial planner is someone who only charges you basically a consulting fee for your service. So they don't sell you any products. So I'm not a person that sells my client any products. Like I don't sell insurance, I don't sell annuities, I don't sell investment products, I don't sell anything to my clients. Like my job is to be more of a financial coach or more of a financial consultant, which allows me to give them the best advice that's in their best interest and not necessarily have a hidden agenda. So, you know, I'm a fee-only financial planner, right? Now, let's say, for example, someone at, you know, New York Life, they are what you call a fee-based financial planner. So basically what they do is, okay, they may have some services that they charge a fee for, but they also make commission off of products that they sell their clients. So they may sell you an insurance policy or a annuity policy or some type of investment vehicle where they make a commission off of. And the difference between, you know, well, another difference between the fee-only and the fee-based financial planner is, you know, there's more stringent testing to become a fee-only planner. So there's different exams you have to take. So the exams I had to take are more geared toward comprehensive financial planning, more so than selling somebody an insurance product. So I would like to say my expertise is probably a little bit more geared toward financial planning than just, you know, a certain topic such as insurance or investments or something like that.
Okay, that's dope. So you're more educated, basically, is what you just said. And it's and more specialized. I mean, that is what you just said. Like, you're more qualified in, at the end of the day. So fee only is more qualified to cater to the needs of what they're trying to service.
I would probably say that. I would definitely err on the side of a fee only financial planner for that reason, because I mean they're gonna always give you an unbiased approach, you know. So it's not like somebody trying to, you know, come to, like, shove some type of product down your throat, or, you know, you have to join my team and this, that, and the third. It's not, you know, anything like that on my end.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And you said, so with when you're helping your clients, do you specialize in like more of an individual basis or more families or more people who are trying to start up small businesses or everybody on a larger scale?
So actually, I mean, what's been happening more recently is, you know, when I was in D.C., I had a friend from New Orleans who actually was in dental school. So I used to always hang with the dental students, you know, acting fake like I'm a dental guy. But, you know, what happened out of that relationship was a lot of dentists, once they finished dental school and they either went work for someone else or they opened up their own practices, they started to reach out to me to help them, you know, with the transition of being a college student to making six figures, you know. So, I mean, because it's a pretty drastic jump when you're, you know, used to eating ramen noodles and then you, you know, go to bringing in, you know, big time checks. So I would definitely say a niche market that has carved out for me is medical professionals and entrepreneurs. You know, I work with a good bit of entrepreneurs, helping them refine their business plans, helping them get their accounting and financial systems in place. And I would say those two areas is where I started to develop some type of a niche.
When did you see, when was your aha moment? Like, why got something going here? Like, you actually starting to have clientele and everything. What was that aha moment? When was it and how was it like?
Man, honestly, I would say it was actually before I launched the business. So, you know, even when I was working in corporate America, I used to always have friends and colleagues just asking for some type of advice. Like, hey, like, you know, what stocks are good to invest in, or what do you think I should do about this? And then I was like, damn, well, you know, I think people really respect my intellect in the financial world. You know, so I think, you know, that definitely gave me a bit of confidence to say, well, hey, like, what if I actually created my own firm instead of going to work for someone, where I can actually, you know, cater my firm to the needs of the people. So I think that actually started before I got the firm, just with, you know, a lot of my peers and people in my network actually reaching out to me for guidance and looking at me as a trusted advisor in a sense.
And that's so smart to focus on medical professionals and people who they have the resume as far as the knowledge, but they don't have any experience, or they have, you know, internships, but they have someone else who has more experience. It's just more of a competition, and that field lacks so many it lacks the people who are here to train and help with that transition. Like, a lot of people are overwhelmed with debt, and it's hard to figure out what's the best route of how to enter into the working world. And also they have the issues where, if, like you said, when you're in school, they ran up their credit cards, they messed up their credit. So that's another issue that they have to face and have to fix. And student loans only give you, what, 6 months, and you got to start kicking it back, whether you found a job or not, or you defer. It's just, I feel like there's not a lot of people or not a lot of services that help with that, or definitely specialize in that and capitalize on that. Because people are very educated nowadays, but they don't know what to do with it.
Yeah, that's another thing. That people know, it's just people just rather put their money into things that doesn't give them any type of longevity. Like, what is $200 sneakers gonna give you in 5 years when you got 3 kids? Like, it doesn't make any sense. And the program that you have, because I was reading your website, is like, you gotta give me the info on who built your website first. But also too, like, it, like, everything is just, it's just cut and dry.
Yeah, it's very.
It basically that what you need, and you can. I don't know if you can pick and choose. Well, no, hold on. Let me click this link. No, you can't pick and choose. But it's just, if people understand exactly what they want, your services are very. It's like, I'm just actually impressed. Like, I have never talked to somebody that's actually this. Just like ready, like good to go. Like I said earlier, everybody want to start a business, but they don't have anything to really show that they really want to start a business. And I'm just really impressed. Y'all got to this website.
That's why I said something.
I already looked at it.
Yeah, I looked at it. This is dope. I'm definitely gonna share all this information with everybody. But it's important with minorities to understand financial literacy. Now, how many, do you have employees?
No, so right now it's just me. I'm hoping to
one man show.
Yeah, it's a one man show. I'm the CEO, CFO, janitor, marketer. I'm like everything right now.
Okay, so yeah. Do you plan on hiring people?
Yeah, absolutely. So. I also do tax services as well. So during tax season, you know, I'm very busy with tax prep. So I'm hoping that next year can be the year we can finally expand, maybe bring on an assistant, and that at some point I want to bring on someone under my wing as a junior financial planner to teach them the ropes, and we can really start to expand the program in the myriad of different ways. So that's definitely a part of the agenda.
It's also smart. I'm sorry.
Oh, well, real quick, so since you're focusing on minorities, are you going to hire minorities or are you going to hire white folks?
I mean, I'm definitely looking to, hire my melanated black people
is going
to be at the top of the list.
Okay. Okay.
So
that's good.
Yeah. I mean, cause I'm like really big on giving people opportunities, and, we need to be more inclusive as a people on actually giving our people chances,
Right.
I see all of the time on Instagram and social media, people talking about, hey, I didn't enjoy my time at this black business. I'm never coming back again, this, that, and the third. But it's like, we don't hold, other franchises or other businesses to that same standard,
If
another business messes up, we're not as hard on them as we are on our own people. So
I mean, it's one of them things, like, this is how I'm seeing it. It's like, because we are black, we are minorities, you would think we should be held at a completely and I think that's the issue with a lot of people. Like you said, they won't hold the other companies like accountable for it. But considering that it's something that we want to do, something that we need to do, and we actually see, what white people do, we should be excelling. Like, black folks' biggest thing, we started this, we did that, so why can't we excel with having our businesses? And that's just really, like, the disconnect. Like, I'm just not, like, do you know why black folks aren't excelling with their black businesses?
Yeah, I think it's, so I think it's 2 points to that, right? So I think the first point is, we talked about this earlier, that a lot of our black businesses don't have the framework to be successful, right? They don't have Perfect. The business plans. They don't have the
right
funding. They don't have the
right
marketing. So I think just being professional from the jump is a big issue for a lot of businesses. And I mean, it's not necessarily their fault, but for them to take their business to the next level, they need to seek those type of things. You know, they need to have a business plan created for them. You know, just like we spend money on Jordans, look, we need to spend money on business plans. You know, that's an investment that's going to last way more than them cheap ass Jordans. You know, so I think that's one thing. And then I think the second thing is, you know, we need to be more kind of, like I said, inclusive of, you know, making sure that we're giving, you know, minority businesses a fair shot and a fair opportunity. And I mean, that goes for, you know, consumers, but also investors. You know, I feel like a lot of people are doing from the jump because we just don't have enough of the, you know, opportunity to make things happen. Now, I mean, you know, you may have a real go-getter on your team who, you know, they're going to find a way to get it done. But a majority of the people aren't like that. You know, like, you know, they're going to need some type of help. And we need to be more willing to ask for help. You know, a lot of, like a lot of, you know, people in our culture, you know, is, you know, pride is a big thing. So if we can sometimes put that pride to the side, put the ego to the side, hey, I need help with X, Y, Z, you know, you never know, man, the person next to you may be an expert at this. I'm an expert at that. Once we learn how to really cultivate those different skill sets that everybody is experts at and utilize those, you know, outsource what you don't know or you're not good at. I think that's when you'll start to see a generational shift in the success of minority businesses.
So basically, long story short, everybody has a lane. So if somebody is good at something, they need to stay doing whatever that is that they good at that something. Everybody should play a part in building. Everybody should not just want to be the alpha in the whole Black business building. Because when, you know, like I see a lot of problems where you have the owner and then you have the employees wanting to do what the owner doing. And it's like a power struggle. Like nobody stays in their lane. And like I said, like you broke it down, everybody has a role that they have to play, and it should just all come together and y'all should just build and grow instead of just trying to tackle everything and ask for help. A lot of folks won't ask for help, but they'll complain because they're not getting the results that they want. Go figure. Akayla, you had a question?
Oh, yeah, I did. I had like a two-parter. So one was saying, like, not only with the minority, focusing on the minorities, what you were saying, like, way earlier, how that's smart, because, of course, we highlighted how people don't receive the same opportunity, don't receive the same opportunities for education or ignorant of certain things. And also, like you stated, with the college students having, like, the literal millennials, and actually, I mean, the younger generation. But that being said, it's smart to focus on them because they're hungry, they're looking for it. I'm not talking about the people who, like, spend their money on BS, because some people out here who grind hard and don't even have time for it. They just, unfortunately, don't know where to start. So with that being said, when you go to your hiring process, when you do expand to the point you do need employees, would you look to hire fresh graduates who specialize in finances, who are accountants, who are, need the opportunity to find a job?
Yeah. I think you hit it on the head. I would definitely be looking for someone who can relate to the generation behind me. Because I think, you know, each generation has a certain set of general characteristics that everybody kind of needs to be aware of, you know. I think the generation before us, you know, they like to have that sense of security of, you know, working at a great job and, you know, the 401k and this, that, and the third. Our generation, I definitely think, because of the way technology has evolved, is more entrepreneurial in nature, because
for it's sure
way easier than any other generation to be an entrepreneur.
And you know? You're not getting the benefits of being in a corporation. You're not seeking. It's not the benefits don't the pros don't outweigh the cons. So it's like, I might as well go work for myself because I'm already hungry, but I'm I'm hoping that I do make it with this company to reach retirement so I can be slightly okay. That doesn't, it's like, nah.
Girl, that just sounds miserable as hell. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's definitely like a generational shift, right? You know, it's a generational shift between the Generation X, which was before us. You know, we're probably a part of Generation Y. Most of us all on this call would be considered Generation Y, where, you know, we grew up in the technology gap. So, you know, we have a different view of entrepreneurship and taking advantage of our time now and things like that. Now, the next generation, I mean, I'm still trying to figure them out, right?
So they got a lot going on.
right. So
not all of us. There are some smart people there's just the, unfortunately, the dumb people get more attention because they have this thing called the internet. So
right. So, you know, I have a little brother. He's 12, you know, so, you know, he's a part of that generation. So I don't really know, like, how they're going to pan out and what's going to be important to them and the things that they're going to need to concentrate on from a financial perspective. So I'll definitely be looking for somebody who's a little bit closer in that age range to be able to kind of relate to them. So that way we can have all of the generational gaps covered.
Exactly. Because,
you know, we want to definitely make sure that, you know, no matter which generation we're in, our people are, you know, doing their best to generate wealth.
I was going to ask one last thing was going to be, how old are you now? And how old were you when you started this?
So I'm 29 now. I was 26 when I started the company.
Okay, that's what's up.
Fuck yeah.
So this is like the first year that we're actually going to post a profit. So, I mean, that's good, you know. But you know what? Like, you know, that's normal, right? I mean, you know, most people who start businesses think, you know, they're going to hit it right off the bat. No, like most businesses do not make money until year three, you know, like that's very, very common to have 2 years worth of business losses. So, you know, my advice for anyone who is in the process of starting their own business or even thinking about the idea of starting whatever business, you know, be financially prepared, you know, start now, start building up your emergency savings. You should, you know, aim to have 6 months of your living expenses ready to go in case something happens. In case shit hits the fan, you want to have somewhere between, you know, 4 to 6 months of living expenses ready to go. That'll be really, really big when it's time for you to jump off the porch and run your own business, because, you know, it may be some rough patches those first couple of years. So you want to, you know, be able to put yourself in position to, you know, be able to hang in there for the long haul.
And that's also, too, another important reason why 9-to-5s, even if you don't want to just be an entrepreneur and just hope for the best, that's why 9-to-5s are also too important. And I don't know why people be acting like 9-to-5s is like the worst thing when you're chasing a dream. You need something like that to filter into what you're trying to build. So if y'all want to be an entrepreneur and have no job, go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely.
But having a 9-to-5 that gives you, that
gives you the finances
to do what you have to do.
Your business.
What you say?
The finances to start up your business for the most part. You don't want to take out a lot of loans. Like, you don't want to
try that's why we're having this conversation.
Unless you really are, like, of course, some people, they have success stories. That's definitely not the norm. That's definitely not the regular. But definitely keep your income coming in and just work towards your goals of your entrepreneurship. Do your research and make sure you have, like, your website is dope. It's very clear. It's concise.
Yeah, it's dope. I need that info. Build your website.
It's like, you're not confused. If you are, maybe you shouldn't be here. Like, so
it's
just a lot of stuff that thoroughly goes into starting your own business. Clearly, this was something you were working on in school. A lot of people don't even have the educational background to just go into the business they choose, nor do they do the research to see the demand of what they need, their target market. They don't see which type of processing layout they would have. It's just so many different things. There's a lot of research, budgeting, inventory, and people don't want to do that. They just want to get money. And it's like, it doesn't, mm-hmm. That's a part of trying. That's the part of it. That's the hard work. That's the don't sleep shit where people always like to talk
about. Bro, nobody wants to grind it out. That's the problem. Everybody is so stuck on instant success. No.
These Instagram models really got y'all some... heads fucked up. Struggle.
Right. If y'all really need some longevity, a lot of this, like, a lot of these millionaires and billionaires, like, people will argue, oh, they was brought into money and they had it, but some of them was actually really out here getting it. Like, you don't build an empire in 24 hours, honey.
It takes time. Yeah, I mean, you know, and I mean, even with me, you know, I was fortunate enough to, you know, still have my 9-to-5 while I was, so, I mean, I was taking business losses on my firm, but you know, that was fine because, I mean, I still had a primary job. And then guess what? I was able to write those business losses off of my taxes. So I got that money right back, you know. Mm-hmm. So just you know, once you kind of learn those different concepts and tricks to the trade, I would definitely say, you know, if you have a 9-to-5 and you have any type of business aspirations, you know, hey, it may be some long nights. You know, you may you know, work your 9-to-5, then you may be working on your business from 6 to 10 or from 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. But, you know, having that, you know, blanket of income when you start is very, very crucial, because the longer you can hold on to that, you know, the less rocky your road will be once you do take it full time.
Exactly. Well, I'm definitely gonna hit you up. You seem really thorough. Like, a lot of
you know, I'm sitting here
don't know what they're talking about, and they will take your money and they will claim that they're an entrepreneur. They will claim they're a financial planner. They'll even potentially be the other side and sell you something. You still confused, stuck, finances in debt, credit effed up, just because you believe somebody. You know, they sold you a pipe dream and you got played. Because another thing that comes with the entrepreneurs comes the scammers. There are a lot of scammers out here who don't have the credentials, but they fake like they do, and now you're still in the same situation. So it's good to hear someone who does have the educational background, but not only that, has actually done the research and actually knows how to go about individual people, how to help people, because you were given advice for free before you even got into the business. It's like, that's dope you find your niche that way versus just, hey, I can help you. Give me money. What?
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's all about passion and, you know, you need to find your passion and you need to find your purpose. And I knew for me, like, I'm just a people person. You know, I like to help people. I like to put people in the position to help themselves. And that's what financial planning does for me. Like, it allows me to use my gifts to bring out the best in others. And, you know, kind of once I found out that, hey, you know, this is something that I really enjoy doing, you know, how do I make that my purpose and my passion, you know? And then, you know, just it's, and then for me, I mean, look, I like try to get up at 4 a.m. every morning, you know, because, you know, I want to make sure that I'm making the most of that opportunity each day to impact people and to live out my purpose, you know? So it's just like, kind of once you find that purpose, you know, you just gotta go full throttle at it. You know, you don't really do it for the money. I mean, if you do it right, that'll come. You know, but you don't want to do things the right way.
This is for sure, and definitely do your like research, because people really think they have a niche, and it's like, that's not needed right now. That's actually not needed at all. Now you're struggling. You're really struggling, and it's like.
Yeah. And then, like, another thing about finance is, you know, everybody thinks, you know, finance is this complicated jargon that, you know, only few people could actually understand.
It's really not, though. That's the crazy, you know, it's not like quantum physics.
Right. It's not like quantum physics. It's not biology. You know, when you break it down to the more simpler concepts, it's actually quite very, very, very interesting to, you know, kind of get into the details on, you know, how people think about money, you know. And I mean, even when I'm talking to, like, kids, you know, like, kids like to talk about money, you know, so
sure.
It's very easy for me to relate you know, person of finance to someone like us, because I mean, it's so many examples that, you know, we can use to understand what's going on. So, you know, part of like my job is to make finance simple to my clients.
So, you know, almost like the cash flow quadrant, like how homeboy, what's his name? Robert Kawasaki, how he broke everything down and even has it on a kid's level type stuff, where you can teach your kids, or you talk about breaking the generational gap, you can teach children how to educate their, teach people how to educate their children and actually teach them how to build, instead of mess up your kids' credit, build your credit to where when they enter college, they have credit that's already built. They have certain things already established for them where they don't have to struggle the way we had to struggle, or even prior to us. That, no, I feel like that generation didn't have to struggle as bad as us. They low-key have more opportunity. Our parents and stuff, like, houses were cheaper. Like, life was a little more easier. They don't like to admit that, but it's the truth. It's the truth. It's a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's like definitely things we can do as a community that, you know, won't cost us a lot of money right now, but will benefit us greatly down the road. You know, for example, you know, there's a investment plan called the 529 college plan. So basically, if you have a kid, right, you can start to put money away tax-free for your kids if they want to go to college. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, you don't have to contribute like $10,000 a year. I mean, you can contribute whatever your budget allows you to. I mean, even if it's like $100 a month, right? You know, if you're doing that for 18 years, like, your kid is going to have options when they're 18. You know, if they want to go to college, you know, they're going to have money to attend college and to, you know, live comfortably. If they don't want to attend college, you know, they're going to have money to start their own business, you know. But it's like, it's concepts like that that I want to actually get into our communities, just basically rechannel our spending patterns and spending habits to things that will generate more assets for us.
Yeah, that's dope. That really is. And it's really dope that, like you said, this is like your niche. This is what you, this is your passion versus turning it into like a scam or some type, just to get money rich type thing. Because even with the cash flow quadrant, and it, that shit turned into a scam though. It's like, whoa. So I'll definitely be hitting you up.
That website sold.
It definitely
you, huh?
did. I was like, well, and you were talking about it because I'm listening to him talk, and I was like, well, I'm gonna see it on the website. And I was like, hold on, I can't.
Man, I'm gonna have to give y'all dude website info. His name is
It's not. I'm gonna have to know. You're going to give the info
for sure.
Yeah, man. Shout out to Eric Carr. He's the architect from the website. Another black guy. So I'm like big on spending my money with black dollars and
same for me. Yeah, that's the reason I hopped on. It's actually, at one point, was networking with a lot of different people because I took this like small course to teach you how to build a business plan, and I met a bunch of, like you said, white financial advisors, white accountants, like, and they had the credentials. Like, I don't know why I just can't. Fuck you straight, if that makes sense. I want to be somebody who's actually, it's almost like a barter system, what you all were talking about earlier. You help them, they help you. You want a business, they gonna help you get that business. Then also you have the portfolio, right. You have the team to reference people. References and networking will build you faster and higher than almost anything. Like, it's damn near up there with college type stuff, and it's debt-free. You have to get out there and actually, like you said, stay in your zone, know your niche, know what you're good at, educate yourself in it, and meet with like-minded people and meet with people who have the credentials to help you, because you can't do it all alone. I don't know why everybody thinks, like, I'm going to do this, and you're not an expert in everything. It's unfortunate. Some people, you know, they are super geniuses, but even then, everybody needs help. So it's smart to build your team, and it's smart to invest in your own, because that's a big, huge thing within the black community. We support each other to a certain extent, but this shit is fake, because the moment that some shit goes wrong, and I have dealt with people who are very unprofessional, but I've never, ever actually blasted people unless you try to rob me. I will blast, like, a higher corporation, a Walmart. I'll leave you a bad review and harass you before I do it for someone who is an entrepreneur and trying to come up, because guess what? You're going to fuck yourself up in the end. You don't need my help. You keep this pattern up, and with me, I'm loyal. I'm a good customer. You treat me well. I'll keep coming back, and I'll refer people to you. That's the way you keep your business going, not by ripping people and scamming people, not by giving people shit service, not by being an asshole because you feel like you're on some type of level. You have to relate to your consumer. You have to be on a likable basis. You're dealing with customers, and that will keep you coming back. Referrals will keep money flowing, period. Referrals, referrals, referrals. People saying, oh, I messed with this person. Oh, I messed with this person. You'll mess around and be on top without having to do any type of scam and stuff, or having to play people, or having to run from the IRS. Like, it's capable of doing it. You really do get more flies with honey. Do the right thing.
Yeah, I think that's facts. I mean, and then, even to your point about, you know, building your network, right? I mean, building your network the correct way is essential, right? Because to your point, you know, everybody has their special skill sets. And if you build your team, right, like, you know, if I'm like the finance guy, you know, I have the architect guy on my team, you know, I have a marketing guy on my team, I have a web designer on my team, like, we have the whole team covered, you know, so that way if, you know, anything happens within the circle, somebody can take over that task, you know, so that's like another step of like what's called group economics, you know. I know like that term is pretty prevalent within the Black community right now, but a lot of people don't actually understand what group economics is. It's actually,
oh yeah, don't talk about this because I got an episode on that.
All right, cool. Yeah,
yo, man,
y'all might gotta invite me back.
Oh, okay, so yeah, I'll let you know when we're doing that. It's at the end of next month though, but yeah, don't talk about it. All right,
this. Cool.
You're perfect for that, but yeah,
This was so dope. Like, seriously, I feel very educated and full of life. I'm happy. And I was in a bitchy mood earlier, so that's nice.
Y'all got any more questions?
No, I think I'm actually good. I think we cover like most topics for sure.
Yeah, I'm good.
JD?
I'm good.
Bree? No, I'm just a fly on the wall for this one.
Okay, that's cool. I hope you learned something, Miss Fly on the Wall. Okay, so other than that, this was a dope episode. And definitely, please don't forget, I will harass you. I'm telling you right now, on record, I will harass you until I get that new information for that website.
I bet.
Because that website is crisp, it's clean. This is y'all. This
right.
Is
like, I'm looking at that, and I'm looking at mine like, bro, my website is trash.
This made me want to go read and put my glasses on the end of my nose type stuff. Like, I feel like this.
Right. So, but.
Yeah.
Appreciate you coming. I'm gonna definitely let you know about the group economics topic that we have at the end of next month, and send me that website information and go buy some soap, y'all.
Oh, and my bad for my kids. I had to actually lock myself in the bathroom. It's okay.
So other than that, y'all have a good night.
Thank you. Y'all have a good night.
Thank
Bye.
You. You too.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, guys. I You're appreciate welcome. You having me.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.